Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Question and answer time. You've got a question you would like us to answer. You can get it to us by giving us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-SHOW. Or if you're not the phone type, you can send us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Let's go with a couple of questions we had come in this week, Holly.
Yes. So the question came in is that I am building raised beds out of wood and galvanized corrugated metal. They'll be 4 feet wide by 12 feet long and 18 inches high. I want to do a hugelkultur method to fill the bottom and then put some compost or something in. One garden center offers a veggie and flower mix of soil, mushroom compost, rice hulls, and peat moss. Another one has a mushroom compost. Should I get the mushroom compost and add my own amendments? What is best here? And also, I bought a bunch of seeds. I'm going to see what I can plant, but also might do some straw bales. And if I can't fit stuff in my raised beds, I'm going to put them in the straw bales. And what would be best for that?
Okay, so thank you very much for the question. Let's see here. The mushroom compost would be fine. There'd be no issue with that. It's best for your beds. There's no need to add amendments. You can add a little organic fertilizer at the time of planting, as we do on a regular basis. There's nothing wrong with that. Of an organic means, so the plant will take up it if it needs it or when it needs it. 10 inches would be the maximum or the minimum height that you would really want your raised beds to be. But if you're doing a hugelkultur method, hugelkultur is the process of putting rotting timber, leaves or limbs, logs at the base and then covering with soil. And as it breaks down, it holds moisture and then releases it into the soil. That would work very well. And the straw bale, we find that, you know, watermelons or vine crops do very, very well in a straw bale. If you're going to go, if you have extra straw bales for that, works very well for them. So we thank you for your question. We hope that has helped you. Next question is, when planting a seed requiring a certain temperature to grow or germinate, is that the average soil temperature or is it a minimum low temperature requirement?
So it's basically a minimum low temperature requirement. You want to consider consistently whatever that soil temperature is in the best way. So like today, maybe it might be warm enough where your soil temperature might be that. Soil temperature, say it's supposed to be like 40 degrees soil temperature, and it was 60 degrees during the day, you might have 40 degrees soil temperature if it's been consistently warm. But if you look at your long range forecast and your temperature out in the around you is going to drop 20 degrees, you're not necessarily going to have that 40 degree soil temperature for a long term. So you want to wait until the weather becomes more consistent to allow that soil temperature to also stay consistent.
Let's take peas, for example. Between 40 degrees Fahrenheit and 70 degrees Fahrenheit is when they germinate. Now, we typically plant peas in the ground as soon as the soil can be worked. Now, if it's below 40 degrees, they have the potential of rotting. Now, if it's 45 degrees in the soil and it's consistent, like you're talking about, the long range forecast shows no temperature lower than 50 degrees at night, it's still going to take a while for them seeds to germinate. It's not just, oh, it's between the range, they're going to pop up. Now, the warmer the soil is, the quicker seeds germinate. But some seeds have that tolerability built into them where they can germinate on a slower, colder rate. Just going to take some time. All right, Holly, got a question about shallots here. Planting shallots. I miss planting shallots in the fall. Can you still plant shallots in the spring? I'm in zone 5, and the last frost date in my area is May 7th. When should I plant them? What varieties yield best and thrive in zone 5? I see recommendations to start them in mid-March, but I'm not sure because the ground may still be frozen. Any advice?
Sure. So we love growing shallots, and we get them.
What is a shallot? First of all,
a shallot is like a more mild, sweeter, smaller onion.
It's not one bulb. It's 5, 6, yeah, 8 little bulbs.
It's got like cluster bulbs.
Yeah.
So we get our shallots, I think, initially from the local garden center, mm-hmm. and then we just save them, save some year after year, and then we plant those. Just kind of like garlic in a sense. And we plant ours as soon as the ground can be worked, essentially. So they are cold hardy. You can get them from your local garden center. They're going to have the right variety for your area. And as soon as the ground can be worked and there's not really a threat of a hard frost or hard freeze
yeah.
You can go for
it. Now, we've planted them a couple of years ago. We planted them in the fall in the front yard garden, and they came back. I mean, we'd never done that. We'd only done the spring planting. So it can be done both ways. Obviously, it's kind of like, you know, if you plant them in the fall, it's one less thing you have to plant in the spring. However, you want to remember where you planted them, even though they're bulblets, and they're going to, it's kind of like, you know, they're going to have some above ground growth. You still kind of want to know where they're at, so you're not tilling and then you see all this shallots popping up out of the ground that you planted. Same thing with garlic. You plant garlic in the fall, you want to remember where you planted it, because it takes a certain amount of warmth for them to begin to sprout. And if you forget where they're at, you may have put leaves on them, or
and if you like shallots,
or a board,
right? If you like shallots a lot, I would recommend growing them, even if it's just in a container, because they're expensive at the store.
And there's different varieties, and there's different sizes of shallots as well.
Yeah.
There's large ones, and there's small ones, and all different things. So, okay, talk about potatoes. Trying to get my Yacond potatoes, seed potatoes, to sprout.
More eyes.
Yeah, more eyes on them. They're in the basement right now. It's a constant 55 degrees. Should I move them upstairs where it is approximately 74 degrees Fahrenheit? Will that help them? Will that hurt them? Now, before we get into that, answering that question, sprouting of potato eyes. A seed potato, has already genetically determined how many sprouts is going to be on it. So whether you take it from 55 to 74, you wave it, you do a seance, you pray about it, they're only going to have so many eyes that it's going to germinate or sprout on that potato.
Yeah.
There's no way of additionally creating somehow more sprouts. So a typical so moving them from the basement at 55 to the ambient temperature of 74 in your living quarters definitely will help. However, you want to keep them out of direct sunlight and away from direct heat. You want that indirect sunlight and just ambient temperature, and that will kind of jumpstart them to get a little more sprout on them and sprout the ones that they have. Now, you don't want a long sprout. We've all went in the cupboard and saw a sprout that was 9 inches long. You can plant them, but for seed potatoes, you really, 3/4 of an inch to 1 1/4 inches is about the maximum you really want on your potato in order to plant it without having too many issues of potentially snapping off that sprout or doing damage to such potato. And you can also talk, Holly, you can talk about the dividing of the potato and the sizes in which those potatoes can be if you're going to divide them versus not divide them or chop them up at all.
Right. So you want to take a potato, whatever size you have, and you want to cut it in a way so that it's no smaller than a chicken egg.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smallish chicken egg. You don't have to think about the extra large ones, but the kind of the smaller
ones.
The average size, yep. So if you have a potato that has 4 sprouts on it, and it's a larger potato, and you can cut it into 4 pieces that are about
the size of a softball is what you start with.
Yeah. But potatoes aren't really soft.
Some of them people grow them pretty big. We don't grow potatoes.
No, but I'm saying that like they're more oblong.
Right,
but,
right. Girth size.
Yeah. So you're going to cut up into 4 pieces, and then you'll have your sprout on a piece of potato that's about the size of a chicken egg, and that's what you want to do. And you don't want to knock the sprouts off. You want to leave the sprouts on, and then you can plant them.
Right. Some people will leave one sprout, will take all the sprouts except for one on. Leave all the sprouts on each chunk, because then it will do its own thing. If it wants to grow 2 plants, it will grow 2. If it wants to grow one, fine dandy. So for all you potato growers or new growers, there's some advice there.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.